I'm going to show you the 5 steps I'm following to take advantage of this once-in-a-generation window, and it's the Bitcoin revolution. It's here. It's taking over Wall Street, the banks, institutions so fast that the old financial system is dying. And the world, it's going to change forever. But I don't want you to be left behind. So I'm going to share 5 new changes that have just happened that have changed everything for how I'm approaching this asset class to take advantage of this new window opportunity and how you can use these same steps to change your financial future in years, not decades, even if you're starting from zero. Now, before you can start making money with Bitcoin and, of course, the new financial system, you need to make sure you understand the subtle but powerful changes that are happening from these monetary and technological angles. I haven't been this excited since, well, ever. This is literally a once-in-a-thousand-year opportunity, and we have the advantage of being alive and paying attention to take advantage of all of this. Shift number one. Now, shift number one is the regulatory winds. So we have regulatory winds, of course, the regulations, which have been holding it back. Headwinds, which have now shifted 180 degrees and are now tailwinds blowing it forward. And that happened with the Trump administration coming in. Now, previous to Trump, we had administrations that were extremely hostile to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. For example, in 2017, when Bitcoin was running from $1,000 to $20,000 in December, in coordinated fashion, there was Operation Choke Point. And basically, in December of that year, both Facebook and Google at the same time blocked all advertising for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Simultaneously, the banks blocked transfers to crypto exchanges and credit cards blocked transfers as well. Now, of course, if no one can hear about it, no money can come in, then it gets choked off. But we saw the same thing with the Biden administration. We had the SEC, chaired by Gary Gensler, extremely hostile, Elizabeth Warren running on an anti-crypto platform. And they ran Choke Point 2.0. A couple things. Number one, like my fund is called the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund. Because Bitcoin is the name, we had banks unable or unwilling to wire money from investors because it's to a Bitcoin company. There was also what was known as SAB 121. Now, that was a bill, a bulletin put out by the SEC that prohibited banks from being involved in Bitcoin and crypto. Now, the banks wanted to, and they tried. As a matter of fact, they lobbied the government to get that overturned. It got approved by the House. It got approved by the Senate. And it went all the way to Biden's desk, and somebody there, whoever had the pen, vetoed it. Okay? So the administration was extremely hostile. But when Trump took over, everything changed, and now it is blowing this sector forward. And so Gary Gensler, fired. SAB 121, rescinded. The Federal Reserve now telling the banks they can move into Bitcoin and crypto. This is massive. On top of that, the U.S. government themselves is setting up a strategic Bitcoin reserve, putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet, setting up a sovereign wealth fund to put Bitcoin on the wealth fund as well. So we have gone from regulatory winds holding it back, almost like a beach ball being held underwater. And those regulations have now been removed. And that beach ball is taking off, and we can see the entire Bitcoin space shooting forward. Okay, shift number two. Now, shift number two is a landmark shift for the United States and for housing. The FHA has decided to change its regulatory stance and basically the entire financial system. And so the Federal Housing Finance Agency has issued a directive ordering Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the largest lenders in the United States, government lenders, to formally consider Bitcoin as an asset in single-family mortgage loan risk assessments. Now, this is massive because we have about 65 million Americans that own Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Now, previously, if you want to get a loan, they look at your assets, but they couldn't consider those assets. And the fact that they're now allowing, considering those assets does a couple things. Number one, of course, it legitimizes it. Number two, it allows all those people to use those assets to then lever up for more assets like a home. Number three, it signals to even more people that they could buy more Bitcoin knowing that those assets will count towards future homes. Again, another regulatory win that has shifted. Now it's with homes. And let me just tell you how big this is. In 2024, the FHA alone issued over 760,000 single-family mortgages worth over $230 billion. This is a massive shift that's going to change the way that we buy Bitcoin, we use it as an asset, and we buy real estate. All right, shift number three. This is a little bit more similar to the same, but now this is about Bitcoin collateral and lending. Okay, so we talked briefly about SAB 121 and the banks coming, but what does that really mean? Well, the banks want to get involved. They want you to be able to buy Bitcoin in your bank account, but more importantly, they want to loan you money based off of the Bitcoin. Now, this started previous to Trump taking office. We saw Cantor Fitzgerald, one of the legends in the Wall Street space fund. They opened up a $2 billion credit line for institutions that are holding Bitcoin to start tapping into that equity. All right. The reason why is, of course, the rich don't sell assets. They borrow against them. And you and I should as well. And with the banks coming into place, that's what's going to happen. You and I will be able to take all of this Bitcoin that we have, and instead of selling it to get some of the liquidity off of it, we can borrow against it. This is going to allow the banks to rush in, allow the banks to make more money than they've ever made, allow you and I to access that liquidity without taking risk. Cantor Fitzgerald is doing this for the institutions. I work with a company called Arch Lending. We're doing it for individuals like you and I. But I would guess within the next 6 to 12 months, we'll see commercial banks coming in, and the chance for you to access it within your Citibank, your JP Morgan, your Wells Fargo is probably not that far away. All right, now shift number 4. This is really big, okay? This is Wall Street. This is institutions. We're talking the ETFs. Bitcoin ETFs, which is allowing Wall Street to get involved. Of course, BlackRock has the largest Bitcoin ETF. And now we're seeing the Bitcoin treasury boom, which is now publicly traded corporations setting up, tapping into the public debt and equity markets to lever up on the Bitcoin. Now, it's not just about Wall Street getting involved, all right? Obviously, that's big. We'll talk about that. But what's even bigger is who's behind Wall Street? You see, BlackRock owns the ETF, but they're just managing people's money. What we're talking about is a shift. The income markets are the largest markets. We're talking over $300 trillion. So if you have money in a retirement account, a pension fund, a 401k, a mutual fund, your money, part of it, typically 40% of it, is in these fixed income instruments. Now, right now, the fixed income instruments that are available for your administrator to invest into are typically some sort of bond that's under collateralized. It's wrapped up in some CDO tranche that you don't even know what it is. Extremely high risk and extremely low return. Such high risk being under collateralized without knowing what's in it and making 3 to 5%. The problem is that monetary debasement's moving up at 10%, meaning you're losing 10% of your purchasing power and only making back 3 to 5. This is why most retirees aren't able to retire. And all of that money, 300 trillion, is trapped in that system. But what the ETFs are doing, what the Bitcoin treasury companies are doing, is creating individual niche products that are basically like straws going into each of these trapped liquidity pools. One, sure, making a bunch of money for BlackRock, the ETFs, the Bitcoin treasuries, great. More importantly, saving millions of people whose money, retirement money, is stuck in high risk, low yield funds that aren't even keeping up with inflation, and now they're offering them a way out. This is massive, yes, for Bitcoin treasuries. Yes, it's massive for ETFs. But this is big for millions and millions of people who are stuck within that system. Okay, so shift number 5, this is the big one. Where we're at right now is we are accelerating through the parabolic phase of the S curve. Now, you know, I talk a lot about technology. It's because that's where most of my career has been. In technology, there's a few ways we can look at them. Of course, I talk about a 50-year cycle with 4 distinct phases. In the second phase is where the big money, institutional money, where the sovereigns come in. This is where the growth happens, the bulk of the growth happens, and at less risk. It's great for us. More money, less risk. I like that. But there's other ways that we can look at technology, one of which is called an S-curve. Now, the way it works is the time it takes to go from 0 to 10% adoption is the same time it takes to go from 10 to 90. That means the middle part of the curve is straight parabolic, and that's exactly what we're accelerating into right now. So we can look at Bitcoin's growth and think it's happened pretty quickly, but it is just now about to start accelerating. So a lot of people are expecting that, well, it can't keep going up forever at this same rate, right? I mean, Bitcoin is up 100% in the last year, 100%. In the last 3 years, it's up 462%, almost 500% in 3 years. Over the last 5 years, it's up 1,000%. We're talking over a 65% compounding annual growth rate, or CAGR. So a lot of people are thinking, well, it can't keep that up forever. It's going to go to 20%, right? Maybe, eventually, but not right now. As we accelerate through the S-curve, we could see this asset start to re-accelerate and potentially have the CAGR even go up even faster than it is right now. So what we're witnessing is massive regulatory headwinds turning into tailwinds. We're witnessing banks and Wall Street institutions and ETFs and treasury companies coming in to save their retirees. And at the same time as that big money is pouring in, we're watching it accelerate through the S-curve into the parabolic phase of this cycle. Now, this is exactly the research that I'm using inside my fund, the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund, and inside my Quantum Wave Investment newsletter to invest. Now, if you want the exact math and the framework that we're using to chart Bitcoin's price through 2030, 2040, and into 2050, then click this video and I'll see you over there.